A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to take 10 for Talmud. Shkalim Chaf Aleph, Shkalim 21a, pagination page 41. Going to be dealing with some cases of Kodshim, knife in particular, that was found. And it's not identifiable, so it can't be returned to its owner. You would be allowed to keep it. And the question is, can you assume that it's Tahar or not? So, a little bit of introduction, and then we will start in the Mishnah about 8 lines from the bottom with the word kol. End of a line, kol. So, introduction here. A person who finds an item, such as a knife, and it's unidentified, we don't know if it's tamei or tahar, so there is a gezeira derabbanon, legislation to consider it tamei, and it would require purification. You would have to take it to mikveh. The exception to this is in Yerushalayim, where most of the people are tahar, and generally things are tahar, and therefore we would assume that the item is tahar, because we don't know. Fine. Default setting is tahar. Except that if you want to use the item for Kodshim, so then for Mailas Kodshim, for the benefit of Kodshim, it would have to require Tevila. And the exception to that is that on Erev Pesach, if you find a knife which would be used to Shecht the Karban Pesach, that type of knife, so then we assume that the owner would have prepared that knife to be tahar and used for the Karban Pesach, and therefore such a knife in Yerushalayim for Kodshim would be tahar because it's assumed that they took care of it in preparation of Pesach, provided, of course, that you're finding it on Erev Pesach, because if you find it too early, who says that the owner did the purification process in preparation for Pesach? He still had time. Still had a few hours to do it, and you wouldn't be able to assume that it was taken care of. So to review those exceptions to the exceptions, an unidentified is considered tamei midrabanan. The default is that there's a gzeira derabanan that it's tamei. In Yerushalayim, though, because most people are tahar, the environment is tahar, so then even if it's found unidentified, we'll assume it's tahar. However, for Mailas Kodshim, to use it to Shecht a Korban, it would require Tevila. But on Erev Pesach, if it's a knife to be used for the Korban Pesach, so then we assume that that purification was done for Mailas Kodshim, and you could rely on that. So let's see the Mishnah, again about 8 lines from the bottom, end of the line. Kol HaKelim, anytime you find a vessel, HaNemetzorim B'Yerushalayim, in Yerushalayim, derech yurida leves hatevila temeyin. The first opinion says that it depends where you found it. If it's on the way down to mikvah, and they had like an alleyway going down to the mikvah, and then an alleyway coming up, so that the people wouldn't come in contact with each other. So on the way down, it's considered tamei. It must have dropped from the people on the way down. V'derech aliyah tahorim, and on the way up, it's considered tahar. Must be that the tevila worked. Shalok Yiridos and Aliyos and Div Reb Meir, because Reb Meir points out that they go down on a different way than they come up, and therefore it's Tahar on the way up. Rabbi Yossi says, no, Kulan Tahodin, everything is Tahar. We're talking about Yerushalayim, because we're assuming that things basically are Tahar, and we're not addressing the issue of using it for a korban yet. That's going to be later in the Mishnah, that for Mailas Kodshim, even in Yerushalayim, it has to be purified. So Rabbi Yossi says, across the board, it's Tahar, even on the way down to Mikvah, because it could be it was dropped by a person who was holding multiple things. Some of them needed Tevila, some of them didn't, and you don't have enough solid ground to assume that he dropped the item that needed Tevila. And he dropped an item, and it's Yerushalayim, so we assume most items are Tahar. Chutz, with the exception, minasav amagrefav v'hamiritza miyuchadim likvaros, items that are used for burial, those tools, those things are considered tamei. But otherwise, Rabbi Yossi across the board in Yerushalayim says kulan tahorim. Okay. Next part of the Mishnah is addressing that second part of our introduction, that if you want to use a knife for kodshim, for a karbon, so then even though it's Yerushalayim and things are considered tahar, because it's being used for kodshim, it needs purification. The loophole is that if you're so close to Pesach, so then you could assume that the owner, before he lost it, took care of it. So the Mishnah says, Sakin shenimtzeis biyadalud, a knife that's found on the 14th of Nisan, and again, as we mentioned, it's not identifiable, it's a very generic-looking knife, there are no simonim, there's no way the owner can identify it and claim that it's his. So you're allowed to keep it. Question is, what is its status? Shochet ba miyad, you're allowed to use it without any further clarification, no purification. You could use it because it's found on the 14th, and we assume that knives that are around, the owners took care of them on the chance that they're going to want to use them for Karban Pesach. B'shlosha asar, but if you found it on the 13th, so then it's not so clear that he did the purification process yet, because any time on the 13th, before sunset, he could still do the purification process, and it'll be ready for the 14th. It'll go through the sunset, and it'll be ready for the 14th. So if you found it, let's say, on the 13th in the afternoon, you don't know when the guy lost it, but he had still another hour, 2 hours, 3 hours to do the purification process. I have nothing to bank on that he for sure took care of it already, and therefore, beginning of the next line, shone umatbil, you're going to do it again. You're going to do the tvila again. Now, according to the Rambam, the word shone over here means you're going to do again. Again, what? Again, the sprinkling of the para aduma in case the item became a tmei mace from a dead body, and requires the para aduma, and that's what the shona is. You're doing again the sprinkling of the para aduma umatvil, and then you give it to mikvah. Others learn that shona umatvil is one phrase, that you have to be tovelit again, meaning we're pretty confident that the owner might have been tovelit, but you will have to be tevelit again. And that word shona is telling you again. Question would be to explore, worthy of exploration here, is why are we saying do it again? Whenever we're machmir and we say you have to be tevel, so you tevel. What's the word shona that we're identifying, that we really recognize that it might have been done, and therefore we're telling you do it again? We're requiring that you do it again, but we're pretty confident it was... What difference does that make? And I think what would be worthy of exploration is to find out whether such a tevila requires a bracha or not. And perhaps the Mishnah is saying, shona umatvil, in this case, we would not require a bracha, because we're kind of confident that the item is already tahar, that the owner took care of it, and people don't wait till the last hour on the 13th of the month to take care of it. And perhaps that's the significance of shona umatvil, that we're actually paskening lahalacha, that it's a redo, and therefore without a bracha. But we have to clarify generally what would the rule of brachas be on such a tevila. The Mishnah continues, kofitz, if it's a meat cleaver that's used to break bones, so that's not identified with the Karban Pesach, because the Karban Pesach, you're not allowed to break bones. But ze uveze shone umatvil, definitely the kofitz, you would be tovelit again, because you don't have this umdina, this assumption that the owner got it ready before Yom Tov. Yashar Koach, thank you for joining.